Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. In just a moment, my pre-recorded program on the topic of declutter your life will be aired in just a minute or two. But first, I wanted to pause and ask you today to join me and our intentional living community in a time of prayer for the victims of Sunday evening's senseless mass shooting at a country music festival in Las Vegas. Over 50 people were killed and more than 500 injured, and I'm sure the number will likely increase. I'm also asking us to pray for law enforcement, for medical personnel, for those who are investigating this horrendous crime. The president called it an act of evil, and these type of senseless acts of evil against innocent people seem to be on the increase worldwide, and it's confusing, it's hurtful, it's disturbing, we're upset, we're angry, but how do we as followers of Christ intentionally respond? I was thinking coming into the studio this morning about Paul's statement in Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think we're overcome by evil in three ways. Number one, by anger. It's understandable. When these kind of stories come to us, we're angry. And yet Paul says in Ephesians 4 to be angry. Yes, it's okay to be angry, but do not sin. Don't allow these type of incidents to cause us in our lives to be sinful, that we are to take advantage of these moments in our life, yes, to be motivated to do the next right one thing, to be intentional. I think fear is another way that we are overcome. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. You know, it's like a trap. The animal is caught and can't be escaped. And it's my wife and I were talking this morning how you see these kinds of stories and pretty soon you fear everybody in every situation, and it's easy to become overcome by fear. But it says, instead of fear, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe, knowing that ultimately our eternal safety, who we are as a person in Christ, is safe in Him. And then Philippians chapter 4 talks about, I think, one of the ongoing problems for so many of us, anxiety, how we can be anxious about the world in which we live. And Paul says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So our call today from Intentional Living, pray, offer hope to those around you, and then in practical ways, serve the community in which you live, to be active as a follower of Christ, and to be intentional in reaching others in practical ways today. Well, my recorded program on the topic of Declutter Your Life with my friend Dr. Greg Jantz will start up here in just a minute.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. My name's Felicia, and I live here in Tucson, Arizona. About 2 years ago, I spent maybe 3 or 4 days volunteering for your radio show, Answering Phones, and it was such a tough time in my life and in my marriage, and I felt like everything around me was falling apart, and I was struggling to hold on to anything I possibly could. And when I look back now, after being in recovery and actually just graduating my first 12-step in Celebrate Recovery at Victory Worship Center here in Tucson, I realized that I began to hoard things. And in the last 3 years, things have changed. Things have turned around completely in my life. I went from growing up in a hoarding atmosphere and always coveting things to having a compulsive shopping issue, to being a complete control freak in my marriage, to really being able to have peace. And I believe that I finally reached that point with Christ.
Hey, thanks for sharing your testimony with us. Your stories matter a great deal. You can share yours today, either a story or a question, when you call 888-888-1717. All right, we're talking about cleaning clutter out of our lives. And I've invited Dr. Greg Jantz to join me. You know that Greg happens to be one of the contributors to the Intentional Living Minute feature that airs around the country every day. And I appreciate Dr. Jantz. Greg is a licensed mental health counselor. He specializes in parenting communication strategies. He's the founder of the Center for Counseling and Health Resources, known as A Place of Hope in Seattle. And he's joining me from rainy Seattle today. So, Greg, welcome to Intentional Living Center today.
Oh, Randy, good to be with you. Did you say raining in Seattle? Are you sure?
That's what I heard as a rumor.
Well, we are here in beautiful Seattle, and we're decluttering around here.
Well, that's a question, Greg. I know you do a lot of work with people who struggle with mental health issues and people who struggle in life in general, and I'm thinking about this thing of clutter. You know, we're naked coming in, we're naked going out,
yeah.
But in between, some of us collect. What do we get out of collecting clutter? Why do we do that? Why is it we look at clutter, we know we shouldn't have so much junk?
Oh, I know. And clutter can mean different things to different people. Some, you walk into their office and there's one little really nice stack and they feel like it's clutter. And the next person, there's stacks everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, I know where it all is. It's organized. This is not clutter.
Yeah, and don't move. Like I tell my wife, don't move those piles because I know exactly where my stuff is in those piles.
Yes. You see, that's what clutter can mean different things to different people. Here's what we want to look at, though. Randy, if clutter is taking you away from things you should be attending to, if it's a mental distraction, emotional drain, we probably need to look at what role is clutter serving in my life? What's it doing for me?
Well, and how do you answer that? What have you heard, or what do you think people, how they would answer that? What is it doing for me?
Well, the first thing when you ask about clutter, we kind of rationalize many times. We'll say, this is the way I grew up, and you just, like it or not. And we get maybe defensive, but we need to go beyond the defenses, have a little conversation with ourselves in the mirror and go, okay, I need to be honest with myself. Clutter is a problem, and I don't just see it in the workplace or home place. Wherever I go, and for some people, the car is the place of clutter.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a revolving, it's their office. It's clutter. And we've all seen these kind of cars. And some people say, everything else looks good, but I just put everything in my car. So take an honest look at, okay, where is this affecting me? Where am I cluttered? And the first question to ask yourself, the very first question is, what am I avoiding?
Yeah.
What am I avoiding? Because clutter represents, for many, and I'm making some general statements, Randy, but for many, clutter could represent an avoidance of dealing with some things. It could be, I don't want to deal with this paperwork. I don't want to deal with this paying bills. But don't just look at paper.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have stacks of clothes? Do I just stack everything and try to jam everything in one drawer or one cabinet? What am I hiding with clutter? Emotionally, what am I hiding?
I think the other thing, when I for myself at least, sometimes the collecting of clutter gives you a sense of control. I got it all here, and there's a sense of if I get rid of it, I may need it later. And really, you don't. I mean, you realize it's been sitting there for 6 months or a year, and you don't need it. You're probably never going to need it. But there's a feeling of some sense of security because I know it's there if I ever do need it. And,
yeah.
Of course, that can be unhealthy as well. We got some callers want to join us here, Greg. Let's get Cindy on the line. Cindy, welcome to Intentional Living Center today.
Good morning.
Appreciate your call. How does clutter impact your life, Cindy?
Well, I guess it's probably emotional clutter, along with the boxes and stuff that are around here that I'm slowly getting rid of. And that is freedom, let me tell you. Getting rid of that stuff actually mm-hmm. does make you feel better, especially taking stuff to like a church place. It's a good feeling
sure.
to do that.
Well, why do you think you've collected so much?
Well, as far as clutter in the house, it's because we had a house for 10 years and then we moved to a house we're renting that's way smaller. So, and emotionally, I didn't want to go through a lot of the boxes because my oldest son passed away.
Mm.
And I knew that if I studied things as I was packing them, that I'd probably fall
sure.
apart. It would take me, a month to pack a box.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now I'm, going through stuff. And I know that he's up there saying, Mom, why are you keeping all that stuff? Come on.
Well, and that's a good thing. What does clutter represent? Well, it represents a loss. It represents grief. It represents memories. and maybe, yeah, you know, some positive memories. So clutter can be, and I can see this is so hard, but clutter can be representative of, it connects me with something that was really important to me, a loved one.
Exactly, yeah.
And so what you may want to do in just a couple steps, take the most prized things that have strongest positive memories, and maybe it's a number of things, that's fine. Keep those out, but take and probably put maybe two-thirds away and very carefully putting some things away and marking how special it is on the box. But just set it aside, and maybe it goes in a closet. You know, I don't think you have to hide it away in an attic, but you just set it aside, but keep those other strong, positive memories out and available.
Mm. Yeah, because I think, I'm guessing, Cindy, for you, it represents getting rid of that stuff in some way. Down deep, you may feel like you're being disloyal to your son.
Sure.
Yeah, it does.
And yet you know that other part of you saying, your son would be saying, but Mom, come on, you know, get on with it. You've got other things in your life you've got to do. And that kind of battle is not, the stuff is sort of representative of probably what's going on inside of you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well
right.
said, Randy.
Yeah.
But you know what? Also, allow the Lord and praise God for his life and the positive memories you have. But don't let it necessarily hold you back, you know, where this is a ball and chain around your ankle, because God has some next things for you.
Yeah, there's freedom, and there's, you know, the points of being able to move on is not easy, but it's a healthy thing to do. We'll be praying for you. Cindy, thank you for your call.
Cindy, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you for taking time. Noe is on the line from Arizona. Hi there. Welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you.
Appreciate your call. It says you're an animal lover, so you got some pet clutter. Is that what it is?
Well, the pet clutter has gradually become a problem, but I've also been, like the young lady, Cindy, I started collecting a lot of stuff because, I donated to people or charities. And as I walk my dogs in my area, there's like industrial parks, and they throw away a lot of really good stuff, you know, so I just couldn't leave it there. So I bring it home. Before you knew it, I had my storage room full, and I had some in the living room in boxes and everything. And for me, it started to create depression.
Well,
because, you know, like kind of like when your place is dirty or messy, you just don't feel right.
Yes.
And eventually I got rid of a lot of stuff, most of it. And I'm not doing that anymore. However, I have two small dogs and a baby cat, kitten.
Right.
And right now they're consuming me, and I don't know how to handle it, because I love them and I can't get rid of them.
What do you mean they're consuming you? Help me with that.
I'm letting them. Well, I wake up in the morning. Usually I would have a cup of coffee, maybe two.
Yeah.
Kind of collect my thoughts, make a plan for the day. But now I wake up and it's like, I'm on the run, half asleep, trying to feed one or the other, or getting them ready to walk, and it's just fast, very, very fast-paced. And it seems like I'm constantly either changing the water or feeding or grooming or walking or telling them, hey, stay out of that. Hey, don't get in this. Don't get in that.
And sounds like having a couple kids around the house.
Well, you know, and I ask the question, what emotional needs is this meeting for me? And it's always wonderful to have pets, but what is this really doing for me?
Yeah.
And how is this clutter in my life?
It is.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's clutter because...
Yeah, it's clutter, yes.
You know, let's talk about that for a minute, Greg. How do we know when something... We're thinking about clutter now. When something is clutter as opposed to it's a part of life and it's great. So, you know, other people are listening saying, hey, a cat and a dog... That's great. That's not that much responsibility. You should be enjoying it. And yet, Noe's talking about, hey, I feel pretty overwhelmed with it. And so, one, like you say, it can be overwhelming to one person and not to another. How do we know when it's a problem?
Well, the first thing we're going to look for is, what level of mental preoccupation is this having in my life? So, am I constantly thinking about this? And so is it draining me? And if it's draining me, it's causing me some emotional fatigue. So my thoughts are distracted, you know, because it's distracting. And I probably don't feel good about myself. I'm like, ah. And you may be telling yourself, oh, I should be doing better with this. I should be able to take care of these pets. But yet, it's representing a burden, and maybe we need to evaluate. Is it really best for me to have both of these? And, you know, what needs is this meeting? And I know I said a lot there, but what needs is it really meeting for me to stay stuck like this? What's it doing for me?
Hold on for a minute here. Dr. Greg Jantz is joining me today. I think what I'm hearing is that clutter itself may not be the problem. It's not stuff, not the cat, not the dog. It's not the things that we bring home, but it's what those things represent in our life. And so it's an inside job. You can have a person who has decluttered their life and still be struggling with emotional problems when it comes to anything that comes into their life. Someone else can have more things and not have a problem. And so as we talk about clutter today, let's remember the clutter itself may be representative of a more serious issue going on. We have more calls, more with Dr. Greg Jantz. And a reminder, as you come and join us as a member, monthly support for intentional living, whatever amount God lays on your heart, we're challenging you to pray about $25 or $40 a month. We have the new member pack. We call it the new member kit. It's the book Starve for Affection, autographed, and The Power of One Thing, autographed, along with the series for this month on CD and ongoing every month. Come and join us, and I'm going to send the wristband that I wear, One Thing, as a way of saying thanks as well. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And click on Donate, or during West Coast business hours, call us at 888-888-1717 and press number 4, okay?
I heard a testimony the other day where a caller thanked Dr. Randy because, quote, intentional living saved my marriage, unquote. Now, Dr. Randy thanked him, but he also reminded him that it was the Lord who really saved his marriage. As a monthly member of the Intentional Living Center, you can help us continue to have that kind of impact in marriages, families, and lives all over the world. Join today, and you'll get the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which contains autographed copies of Dr. Randy's best-selling books, Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the One Thing wristband. And every month, you'll continue to receive Dr. Randy's coaching CDs. Call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press number 4. Or go online anytime to theintentionallife.com and click on Donate.
Intentional love. Every marriage needs it, but it doesn't just happen.
When I started to show my wife love, she wondered what was going on.
Dr. Randy Carlson can show you how to apply intentional love to your marriage. But right now, it's your move. To make an appointment for the Intentional Love Marriage Conference, coming to Michigan and New Mexico in October and Arizona in November.
That's what I showed her. That's what she responded to, and that's what saved our marriage.
Go to theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
Thanks, Kurt. This is the Intentional Living broadcast coming to you from beautiful Tucson and from our Intentional Living Center. Dr. Greg Jantz is on the line joining me today. He's the founder and the head of A Place of Hope that really helps people who struggle in different areas of their lives. And I appreciate Greg being a part of our contributing team for the Intentional Living Minute as well. And we ask him to join us here today. Hey, Greg, very quickly, what do you do at A Place for Hope? People listening, what kinds of programs do you have going there?
Sure. We're just celebrating our 30th year. So we're a facility where people come to get help, and they stay here for a while, and it's all, we build a team for everybody. So we have everything from fitness to dietitians to the counseling to medical care even. So we put together a team based on a person's need. And A Place of Hope a couple years ago was by a news organization. We were put in the top 10 places in the country to get help for depression. And I think it's really because we really believe in the whole person approach, which means we're going to address issues of faith as well.
And we heard that earlier. One of the callers said feeling depressed. They looked around. I think he said he had this house was a mess and collecting stuff. It can create a sense of depression in your life, can it?
Absolutely. So if I have a lot of clutter, it feels like there's a sense of, things are out of order and emotional order. And so I may feel that drain, that fatigue. I may feel overburdened by it all. And so that can lead me to kind of just a down sense of depression, for example. We haven't mentioned yet, but if you take clutter to the extreme, you may have something called hoarding.
Right.
And, you know, a hoarder, this has gotten now really, really out of control. And maybe we've seen hoarding on a television show and go, my goodness, how could that ever be? But, you know, clutter can be the beginning point for a hoarding problem.
Which is certainly a mental issue. I mean, people, this is psychological, just a resistance to being able to get rid of anything in their life, and it overtakes their world. We've got a couple callers here that want to try to get on. Let's see if we have time for Aurelia, who's first off with some mental clutter with a question. Hi there, Aurelia. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
What's your question today?
Well, I'm a single mother of three. My divorce ended nearly 3 years ago, and I still continuously shake my head throughout the day, like often, about why my divorce broke, you know, happened, why my marriage broke up, what I could have done differently,
sure.
Why my kids have to suffer, why a lot of whys with reference to this. And now I'm in college, and I'm going through a nursing program, and I've had to take some humanity classes, which refer to a lot of relationship things. And I see a different perspective on relationships now because of, you know, this class. And it puts into question just, how do I get rid of this? It's been 3 years. How do I shake continuously going back to that mental clutter? Why and how could I and what could I have done? And I'm continuously trying to change myself, but is it really working? Evidently not, because I feel like I'm still in the same place.
Really, I think you speak for a lot of people where we can become obsessed with certain thoughts. We get stuck around a loss and we just can't move on. Probably to a certain extent, we all experience that. Sometimes it can become more serious. I'm sure you see this a lot, Greg, in the work you do. What do you help someone like Aurelia at that
point? You know, really what we're talking about is grief and loss of a relationship. And we probably get locked in all the what ifs. What if this would have been different? What if I would have done this different? And we get, I call it brain lock, because we just get locked in all those what ifs. And boy, that's clutter to the brain. And after a while, it just gets really overwhelming. And I think we can get, if you will, obsessive in our thoughts about it all. And it just means that, you know, we're having a hard time letting it go. So am I blaming myself? And then importantly, where's forgiveness? Am I forgiven myself, forgiven an ex-spouse? How am I doing with that forgiveness? You know, forgiveness is like a drain, a mental drain on us, but it's also, once we begin that process, you know, it's like, wow, the floodgates start to open and I start to be releasing a lot of this old mental clutter. And I think it takes a while to achieve that. I do.
And it's a daily process. We tell people maybe in forgiveness you have said, I've forgiven them, and yet it keeps coming back. And it may be a daily process that you have to continue to every day elevate to a matter of asking for forgiveness from God, but dealing with it yourself, changing your mind, A great a series of verses to look at is in Ephesians chapter 4, where you really get into where Paul says, change your mind, you know, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that is a that's a spiritual thing, and that's also just a matter of taking control of your thoughts. Greg, we're out of time for today, but listen, I want to thank you for being a part of the program today and for the work you're doing and for your participation as one of our contributors. I appreciate it.
It's so good to always talk with you. So let's declutter.
All right. That's all right. And my wife is saying, amen, brother. Thank you. Thank
amen.
You.
Amen.
Okay. Greg, Dr. Greg Jantz, my guest today.
And when I get home, I'm sure I will find that everybody is sitting down. My son, who is 17, will be at the computer. My daughter, who is 16, will have not done the dishes. My husband will be sitting in his recliner. What do I do? I'm the only one motivated. If it was not for me, they would condemn our house.
We have a business office, and my husband's way of doing it, which was his father's way of doing it, is very unorganized to me, and there's piles everywhere. And when I sit down in the office, I feel very overwhelmed.
One day it's like everything's pretty decent, you know, you come home, and then next night you come home from work and there's cups everywhere, you know, plates not picked up, sink's full, and there's a dishwasher that works just fine.
All right. Hey, listen, I can't say much because I struggle with this, too. As you know, I've talked about declutter. My life is something my wife would say, amen, I'm with you. I think part of the reason we collect things sometimes, we're afraid if we don't keep them, we'll need them sometime, you know, and that we have to deal with that. Decluttering your life is certainly more than just stuff. It's about our relationships, of course, as we've talked, and our minds and our hearts and our spirit. Hey, as we wrap up the program today, again, thanks, Dr. Jantz, for joining me. And a reminder that we're just a few days away now from the Intentional Love Marriage Conference date night. And I'm going to show you how is it that we grow apart in our marriage and how do we grow back together stronger than ever? How can we have the kind of intimacy that God intended? There's something very unique, very powerful about intentional living that I'm going to unfold for you with a lot of laughter, a lot of learning. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bring some other couples with you. It's a date night for couples. It's coming not this Friday, but a week from Friday, the 13th, October 13th, in Midland, and then Sunday night in Jackson, and then we go to Albuquerque and then Arizona. Tickets are available, but don't wait. We've got some sellouts occurring already with our Gold Circle tickets, and I don't want you to miss out. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on events and get registered. It's here. We've been talking about it, and now it's here. Again, go to theintentionallife.com. I promise it will be a night worth your investment. If not, you let me know. Write us, and we'll refund your fee because we believe in that. It's going to be a great night. Starting a new series called Going Through a Dip in Life next time, right here at the Intentional Living Center. See you then.